Good morning. Good to have you with us again. Great that you could join us here online. This morning we look at Psalm 4, and I'd like to read the whole psalm. So please open your Bibles and follow with me. This psalm is titled For the Director of Music with Stringed Instruments, the Psalm of David. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of God. Well, let's pray as we come now to open God's word together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we pray that you would just help us to grapple with the whole idea of how we can have confidence in you, even in the mess of life. Speak to us this morning, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, I don't know if you've driven through town recently, but in our community at the moment, there's a few, I suppose they look like estate agent boards dotted around the place, advertising for a life coach. This person claims to be able to give you confidence in life, claims to be able to say that you can attain success if you use their services. Now, confidence is something that I think teachers strive to gain in their children, in their students. I think confidence is a great characteristic when you go into an interview. If you are confident, it says a lot about you. Confidence gives us the ability to achieve. But when life happens, sometimes our confidence goes out the window. We don't get that new job that we've been desiring, and suddenly our confidence takes a knock. When life happens, we seem to lose hope. We seem to lose our confidence. Psalm 4 is speaking about how, in the midst of the difficulties of life, we can still trust in the Lord. Now remember that our psalmist has been directing our attention firstly in Psalm 1 to help us understand where we are heading and to make sure that we are heading in the right direction. That is towards God, not against God. In Psalm 2, our psalmist gave us an amazing foundation that we need to build our lives on. And then in Psalm 3, we are told about how the psalmist was facing untold difficulties. You'll remember the incident here in the title of Psalm 3 speaks about when David fled from his son Absalom, when Absalom tried to take the throne. And in Psalm 3, David tells us how he still trusts in God, even in the midst of the deep trouble that he was in. Now, Psalm 4 really, I think, just continues that struggle that David has been through, but David now shows us the confidence that he has in the Lord. I want to make three comments this morning, as we have a look at the confidence that David can have in the midst of this crumbling life. So firstly, and you'll see this in verse 1, a confidence to be able to pray to God. David prays to the Lord, and as he does so, he actually reveals a huge amount about his understanding of who God is and shows us that he can have confidence in what God says. Verse 1 in the NIV reads, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." Now, when we read that in the NIV, it almost sounds as if David is asking God to give this stuff to him. Something in the future. But when we look at the original Hebrew here of verse 1, in the original language, it's actually written in past tense. So listen to what the English Standard Version, how that translates this verse, which I think makes a whole lot more sense and shows us how we can be confident in God. Listen to verse 1 from the English Standard Version. "You have given me relief when I was in distress. So be gracious to me now and hear my prayer." David's understanding is that God has helped me in the past. God has been there in the past when my life fell apart. Now remember David's life. You can go and read the incidents in the Kings, 1 and 2 Kings. But how David firstly had to overcome his fear of a man that was 3 or 4 times bigger than him, Goliath. And David reflects, that in the midst of that, when all the Israelite army were shaking in their boots, David recalls, "You gave me relief when I was in distress." Think about it when David was in the palace before he was king, and King Saul was threatening his life and hurling spears at him. David is reflecting on that and saying, "You, God, gave me relief in my distress." As David is now running again for his life, as he's perhaps hiding again in caves, David has confidence in God because God has helped him in the past. David has confidence in God that as he prays to God, God will show him mercy as he has done in the past. Friends, you and I face many, many struggles in our life today. I know some of you are going through really bad patches at the moment. But there's 3 things that David says we need to remember about who God is. Look at verse 1. He is righteous. Our God that we pray to is righteous, which means that he upholds what is right. He does what is right. The second thing that we need to remember is that God is gracious. You see this in verse 1? Be merciful or gracious to me. God doesn't need to listen to our prayers. God doesn't need to help us. But in his graciousness, in his mercy, God listens to us. And the third thing that we need to remember, which David speaks of here in verse 1, is that God actually hears our prayers. How many times have we said it feels like our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? Friends, for those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a righteous God who does what is right. We have a God who is gracious and shows us mercy even though we don't deserve it. And we have a God who hears our prayers. No wonder David, friends, can have confidence as he faces the struggles that he's currently in as he prays to God. Trusting in God gives us confidence in our prayers. But what do we do with prayers, friends? We minimize them. We push them aside. Perhaps prayer is the last thing that we think about. Friends, don't minimize prayer. Don't see the the lack of importance that prayer has. Prayer is massively important, and we can be confident in the Lord God as we serve Him, that when we pray to Him, He will do what is right. He will help us and be gracious to us, and He will hear us. Friends, be confident in the mess of life. The second area that David shows us of his confidence is in really, I suppose, what I've called confidence in life. David faces three different events in the psalm here that I think can be an example for us as we face life itself. It's good and well to be confident in our prayers, but that's not life itself. Can we be confident in life when the world is against us, when we are angry at everybody and everything, when we are just in a state of despair? Well, David shows that we can, and he mentions these three areas of life that can break our confidence. The first area that can break our confidence is those who slander us. But David has confidence in life against those who slander him. Look at verse 2. David says, yeah, how long will my honor be turned to shame? In other words, people are mocking David. He was the king. Now they're laughing at him. It seems that there was a group of people that were making fun of him, that were mocking him, that were slandering his good name. The gossip of the city was against David. Friends, when the gossip of town is against us, when people are mocking us, when people are slandering us, it can break our confidence. When people mock our belief in God, it can knock us. When people we've trusted in disappoint us, it can knock our confidence. When our life seems to fall apart, as people slander us, it can be very easy to lose our confidence. But notice what David does when people slander him. Notice how David reacts to the mockery and to the insults. Notice how David reacts to the bad words and the lies that are spread about him. Verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. David remains confident in the Lord that despite people are mocking him and slandering him from all sides, he knows that if he remains faithful to the Lord God, God has set him apart. God will be there with him. God will protect him. God will help him. And he says again, God will hear. Friends, don't lose confidence in the Lord God when people mock us, when they say all kinds of evil against us. Remain faithful to the Lord. Because, friends, the weapon against slander is to remember how God sees us. Not to think of what the people think of us, but to see how God thinks of us. And remember, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He died for us and has cleansed us of our sin, we are seen by God as being righteous, as being godly. And friends, we need to hold on to that. The world can be a nasty place when it comes to mockery of Christians. Hang on to the fact that in God's eyes we are righteous, we are godly. And that God has set us apart to be with Him. The second area that David has confidence in as he faces the struggles of life is when he is angry. Sometimes when life throws those horrible curveballs at us, we get angry. And with everyone and everything. It's easy to lose our confidence in the Lord when one is angry with things. Where is God? What is he up to? How dare God do this? And we get angry. And David says in verse 4, in your anger do not sin. When in your beds, search your hearts and be silent. I'm sure David was angry at the world because his son has kicked him off the throne. I'm sure David is angry at the people of his country because they didn't fight for him and stand up to Absalom. I'm sure David is angry because his world has been turned upside down. The people he trusted in failed him. Yes, he's angry. And it would have been easy for David to lash out and kill people and take back his kingdom. It would have been easy for David to condemn the injustice of it all and to throw his toys, as to say, out of the carts. But look what David says. Yes, I'm angry. But instead of lashing out at the world and sinning in my anger, he rather says, I will control myself. I will keep a rein on my tongue as he remains silent. But notice what he's doing as he remains silent. Verse 5. He's not just stewing in his own anger. Look at verse 5. In fact, he is worshipping God despite his anger. The comment here in verse 5, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. In other words, don't throw your worship of God out when you're angry, because friends, that is sinning. Rather, trust God. God is the one who brings vengeance. As the Bible says of God, vengeance is mine. God is the one that will deal with the anger that we have because of the injustices. God is the one that will deal with those who have led us astray, with those who do things that the Bible says we shouldn't. David says the way to remain silent, the way not to sin in our anger, is to continue to worship God. To continue to worship God together as a church. To continue to worship God as an individual. Instead of lashing out at everybody close to you and pushing them further away from you, turn to God. Pray to God because he is faithful, because he is righteous, because he is with us. We do need to remember, though, that many of us do sin in our anger. We say things that we later regret. We do things that we wish we hadn't done. But remember what David's comments are here, that in my distress, be merciful to me, God. God is a merciful God, a gracious God. And when we acknowledge that we have sinned against him, be it in our anger or be it in some other way, God will forgive us. God will welcome us back. Perhaps today you are angry with the world because of some disappointment that you've had, because of something that someone did or said. Perhaps you are angry as you look at the world and see the injustice and the loss of innocent lives and the abuse on women and children or the abortion of unborn babies. Don't stop worshiping God. Don't stop turning to the Lord Jesus. So friends, we can be confident in life as we face those who slander us because God is faithful. We can be confident in life when we are angry and because God is there and we can continue to worship Him. But we can also be confident in God in despair. Sometimes when life happens, it leaves us reeling in despair. We can be at the point in our lives when it is just disappointment. There seems like no hope at all. Why even bother? Verse 6, many are asking, who can show us any good? In other words, what good can come out of this situation? What is the point of this? Why are these things happening to me? It's hopeless. I'll just throw in the towel and give up. As we lie in our beds at night, our minds race. And always our minds go to the worst of scenarios, don't they? We think that it can't get any worse than this. And we give up hope. Perhaps even when it comes to the life of this church, we think, it's coming to an end. There's no point in continuing. Maybe when our business is failing, or we're put on short time, it's easy to give up. Maybe our health is something that we wish we still had. There's nothing more that doctors can do for us. Perhaps our kids are beyond help. Friends, despair can be a real thing. Now, let me just mention here, before we have a look at how we can be confident in our despair, let me just mention that sometimes despair, which today is often labeled as depression or anxiety, sometimes needs to be treated medically. And so we need to consult doctors and psychiatrists to give us the medication to help us. Sometimes our despair is caused because of a chemical imbalance in our minds. And this can be corrected through the correct medication. But friends, even in situations like that, even when we're not on medication and we're facing the pit of discouragement, we can build our confidence on the Lord. Look at the second half of verse 6. As David prays, although his life is filled with despair, he says, let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. Now that, friends, is a direct quote from a benedictory prayer that the priests would pray as people left the tabernacle after offering their sacrifices and worshipping God. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26 reads, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the midst of despair, friends, God turns his face to us. He shines his light on us and gives us peace. Friends, when despair hits, don't turn your back on the Lord. Don't give up on him. Be confident in him that he will do what he has said he will do. Trust him. When life gives you lemons, friends, remain true to God. Be confident in him. So David has shown us that we can be confident, firstly, in our prayers. We can be confident in our prayers because we know that God is righteous. He says that we can be confident in our life because God is there with us. And so really, David sums this all up in the last two verses of the psalm by stating that we can have confidence in the Lord. In the midst of his struggles, look how David finishes off this psalm, verse 7 and 8. You, God, have filled my heart with greater joy than when the grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You see what confidence David has in the Lord in the midst of his struggles? Despite his situation, despite his own sin, despite his anger and his despair, he has this amazing confidence in the Lord that he worshipped and served. In fact, notice how great this confidence is in the Lord, that his joy is greater than the joy of an amazing harvest. David's joy is greater than all the money in the world. His joy is greater than owning all the stuff of the world, because he knows that God is both righteous and gracious. As a result of this, David is able to sleep peacefully at night despite his circumstances, because he knows the Lord he serves. Think of it a bit like this. David knows and trusts God. Yes, his life has fallen apart. He's no longer king. He's running for his life. But he knows that when he continues to follow the Lord Jesus, no matter what happens, God will ensure he is rescued. Now, that rescue might mean physical rescue, as in David will be reinstated as king. And we do know that that happened. But ultimately, God's rescue that he's talking about here is our rescue from ourselves, from our own sin, from the sinful state of this world, from the struggles of this world, that we will be rescued and brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus himself. In other words, friends, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what happens at this church when Helen and I leave, trust in the God who will ultimately bring about his purpose. A God who wants to rescue the world. A God who wants to reunite us with God himself. Friends, we can be confident. So let me ask you this question. What is your confidence like today? At this moment in time? Are you doubting God? Do you have confidence in your prayers? Do you think prayer works or not? Friends, our psalmist tells us that God is righteous, that God is merciful, and he will hear our prayers. So let's be confident in our prayers, as we meet together on Sunday mornings, as we pray as individuals, let's be confident in our prayer. Do we have confidence in life? As we face difficulties, as we face struggles, as we face despair and disappointments and hardships of all kinds and shapes and sizes? Do we trust in God? Do we have confidence in the Lord? Maybe we're questioning God. Why would God allow this to happen? Friends, God has a purpose. We learned this on Wednesday and Thursday in our Bible study groups. That God's purpose will happen. Man's purpose, different story. But God's purpose, to rescue the world, to save us from our sin, will happen. And we can be confident in that, that no matter what life throws at us, we if we continue and remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Notice how the psalmist finishes off this psalm. He says here that you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. A little child doesn't worry about their own security. They trust their parents for their security. They might be in the most dangerous of situations, but if their parent is there holding their hand or holding them in their arms, they trust the parent. Friends, that's what we should be like with the Lord God. Holding God's hand, knowing that He is there with us, being in His arms, knowing that He's taking care of us, and regardless of what happens, God will show us mercy. He will be gracious to us. So friends, let's be confident in the Lord in the mess of life. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this psalm that you've given us here. A psalm, Lord, that just helps us to realize what confidence we can have in you. That despite life, despite all the challenges that life throws our way, despite all the despair and the gossip and all the other things that happen, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be confident in you. Lord, be with us as a church, that we might be confident in your work in this church, that you would provide the way forward for us. Thank you, Lord, that you do hear our prayers. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, have a great week and God bless.